Hello and welcome back to the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast. Today, we're talking about Touchstone Theater's original production, Language of Dolls, created and performed by three acclaimed New York City theater artists, Lizzie, Peggy, and Louise, who are here with us today. The show runs March 5th through March 8th at Touchstone Theater in Bethlehem, and it uses dolls and storytelling to open up a deeper conversation about identity, race, and the histories we carry. Quick thank you to our sponsors, WDIY 88.1 FM, Wind Creek Event Center, Michael Bernadin of Remax Real Estate, Molly's Irish Grill and Sports Pub, and our friends at Banco Beverage. And I want to get us started by, if you guys could just take turns and introduce yourselves and tell me a little bit about your role in Language of Dolls. And then we're going to get into how this all came about, what people can expect, and everything like that. So I'm going to start with Louise.
Hi, my name is Louise Smith, and I am one of the co-creators and performers in Language of Dolls. And I live in Yellow Springs, Ohio.
Hi, I'm Lizzie Olesker, and I'm also one of the co-creators, collaborative artists in this original piece, Language of Dolls.
My name is Peggy Pettit, and I also have written and worked on this piece with Louise and Lizzie. And it's hard to separate ourselves because we sort of been, this whole process, it's just like this moment, it's been together.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to talk about next. And just for to put people in the moment, you guys are in New York City right now. And you've been friends for more than 40 years, and you describe yourselves as one black woman with two white women. So kind of like, what made you decide? Is that appropriate? That's what I read from the thing.
One Jewish,
that
wrong? One Jewish,
okay.
One black.
All right, perfect. One black, one Irish, one Jewish. Excellent. So what made you decide to begin an international dialogue about identity now? And kind of what surprised you when you started, I guess, really, if you could bring us up to speed, bring us up to speed of 40 years of knowing each other, but could you kind of describe your friendship and then let's go into this? Like, I'm curious first. Yeah.
Well, we all went to the same college in Yellow Springs, Ohio.
Which one is that?
It's Antioch College.
Okay.
And we all overlapped in different eras. But basically we graduated and then we stayed in touch in different ways. We were theater majors, all of us. So we were inside the same community in New York City, working and intersecting with each other's work.
Yeah. And being at Antioch was a place where if you want it to happen, you have to make it happen yourself. Mm-hmm. So we all continued in experimental theater. So when we got into New York, that's basically a small community. So we were often running into each other, different areas, but working on experimental theater, original pieces.
And we worked with other theater companies in New York, other experimental theater companies, and also each of us did our own work. And so sometimes we were working with one another on a solo piece, for example, that Louise did, and then Louise and Peggy did a piece together. So over the years, we did collaborate in different ways as theater artists.
But we're talking, we're going all the way to the 80s.
Yeah.
Well, I would say, I guess where else would you go maybe? But did you plan to all go to New York City separately? Or is that just kind of like the obvious place to go when you're pursuing what you're doing?
Kind of the obvious place to go. You know, we were, again, on different trajectories in our lives, but we kept interconnecting and kind of reaching out to each other, too, because we had this shared background, you know, and shared interests also.
And that's before MySpace, even. So how are you guys fine? You're just going to the same events, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and there was this thing called the telephone. We would call each other. And there was, you know, not to get too into it, but there was a very different kind of performance scene and alternative theater scene in New York. I mean, it was happening in other places where there was a real kind of underground where we connected with one another through the work that we were you know, excited about and trying to make together. So it was kind of a happening moment, I would say, in the early and mid 80s.
I mean, I should say that all of us are writers, and we all have been involved with original theater more than in like what you would call interpretive or, you know, commercial theater. So we've originated a lot of works that came from us, our lived experience, our own perceptions and passions, you know, and this piece is like that too.
Yes, it's been work, I think, for us individually, and work that's born out of necessity. You know, you have an idea, you have a, you need to respond to something, a situation, do it in a creative way, but it raises questions that need to be responded to.
And I think over the many years we've been doing this, it's like a way that you can kind of explore something, pursue a question, kind of find out what is this about, you know, kind of feed your curiosity through theater itself. And I think there's another part of it about writing what we perform ourselves, as well as also being playwrights, you know, that you can write a play for other people, but it's a very different process when we write it for yourself to perform.
Yeah, and it gives an audience a chance to come in and listen and learn in a room full of other people who have the same intention, and to watch these very serious and delicate questions to be responded to in a meaningful and human way. That provides some kind of inner reflection on the subject matter and racism and education, how we learn and how we treat each other is very important, and maybe more important than ever. So it's a great place to come just listen.
How often, I mean, you all work individually. How often do you collaborate like this?
Well, the three of us collaborating like this, we started this collaboration over 3 years ago. And actually, all of us being together in one place, this is different, you know. So we had the idea, Lizzie had the idea that, you know, let's try to work together, the three of us. And it was at the time of Black Lives Matter and aftermath of the killing of George Floyd. And we felt a responsibility to speak about our own, you know, relationship to these issues and how three old friends, because we're three old friends, there's a way in which we found, you know, the foundation of it is through trust, so that this conversation came out of a deep friendship and a desire to grapple with, you know, something that can be very difficult to talk about. And of course, in this time, we're not supposed to talk about history. We're not supposed to recognize difference. We're not supposed to do any of that. But now here we are in a place of trust, sitting at a table together over the course of a time away in a cabin. That's the premise of the play, where we, you know, actually try to be as honest as we can with each other about what's going on with all of this.
And that can be difficult and challenging to do that. And so we had this over, as we worked on it, the idea came about that, well, we'll just literally be at a table, the three of us. And what is day at the table to not walk away, to not be so alienated and angered by someone else's perspective, to hear what each other are saying. And that became a big part of the piece.
And it's not without humor. I mean, there's a lot of humor in this piece. So because when we observe ourselves and how we are, some things are absolutely hysterical. And it gets, you know, there are many people whose lives are interracial, integrated. All of us, I mean, it's amazing how related we are indeed and what we have in common. And the differences, the things that divide us, are the questions that are shocking and uncomfortable. We try to stay in front of those uncomfortable moments together as friends.
And one of the uncomfortable things that this kind of generated from, tell me if I'm wrong, was the Black Dolls exhibit. And I say uncomfortable just because it's a, you know, talking about the history that people are trying to erase. that Black Dolls history exhibit may be an example of that. So that was in 2022. Can you talk a little bit about that specifically and how maybe it transitioned into the language of dolls, the show that we're talking about at Touchstone?
Well, Peggy and I saw that exhibit at the New York Historical Society, and it was a very profound encounter to witness these dolls who had so much to say to us. They communicated without speaking, and they came from different, you know, moments in history and were often made by women who were, for example, working for different families. And those dolls each had this incredible character and seemed to carry like this story, and all kinds of things were going on just in this little figure. And so we were very touched by that and wanted to make that part of how we would explore the work we were doing together.
Yeah, because some of what the themes, you know, have to do with how do we learn who we are, what are our identities, and things like playing with dolls. I grew up, I never had a Black doll, you know. Mm-hmm. I never had that sense of knowing someone that intimately who was not of the same skin color as mm-hmm. me. All my dolls were white. So we were looking at that too, like how do children learn, you know, through play, through education. Yeah.
And the play, the setting of the play, as I understand it, you move, you're one night at a table, as you had said, and you move through an evening where you eat, you laugh, you argue, dance, and kind of discover these things called soul dolls. Can you talk a little bit more about what are the soul dolls kind of meant to reveal? I don't want you to give the play away, but
the soul dolls are really, they're interesting because they're part of the process that we've had with this piece. We've given ourselves different assignments. And one of the assignment was to make our own doll. And that was so interesting, to take materials from scratch. I've never made a doll. I don't know how many people have made dolls. We go and buy dolls. But to take the time, and how do you choose the material you make it with? Everything became a question. I know for myself, I had got this material and I thought I was going to have this big doll. And when I finished with it, it was just this little guy. And it was just perfect for what I was, for the character, that the voice that he's given in play. So yeah, it's a little bit of us, but
it's like how the dolls in the Black Doll exhibit told stories just through their presence. And our dolls do that too, the inner story of the life of our characters. And we didn't really plan it that way. No. We didn't call them soul dolls till after we made them and we were like, this is really revelatory about ourselves.
And we discovered who they were just by their presence.
Yeah.
So, you know,
is there something to be said through the act of like play? You can be more free in what you're saying through the avatar of the doll, right? Because it's like, it's a difference, you know, it's a distance from yourself. So you can be more honest, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
You get it, George. That's right. Yeah.
And I think we're honest at the table, but there are very particular moments when the dolls speak. And when they do, it's very significant, but they don't speak all the time.
No.
And they don't really reveal. The reveal comes out of the relationship that we have between one another. We thought we knew one another, but we didn't. And being in that cabin is part of that revelation. And the dolls are already in the cabin when we get there. We discover the dolls in the cabin. We don't bring the dolls with us. So this is part, you know, I think everybody has a figurine or a doll in their home.
Oh my God, I have some in here. I should have like.
That's right. That's a witness. We have little witnesses all over our lives. If we look around us, there's something. He's going to find his doll.
Yeah. And that, you know, that's kind of part of the.
Because my RoboCop, I'm a big RoboCop fan.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there you go.
I mean, it's silly, but it tells like a story of my childhood and all that sort of stuff. Like, I love this guy.
That's right.
And the dolls speak to us and to the audience, and they share things. Three, for example, that coming out of our mouths would be very different. But when the doll talks about something particular, about statistics about, you know, the U.S. and birth and how race affects that or whatever it is, it has a different kind of resonance, I would say, because they carry history. They carry all these meanings for us.
Yeah.
We could sit here and talk. There's really interesting stuff, but I don't want to give too much away from the show. So one part of it is that after each performance, there's a guided discussion. So it's not just coming to watch the performance, right? You're going to then, when the performance is over, unlike many shows, you're going to have an opportunity to kind of talk about what you just witnessed. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, that's just it. It is an opportunity for those who wish to stay and continue the conversation. It is an opportunity to listen and participate in a moment in one's measure. Nothing's going to be asked of one that's not within their measure. And it should be, actually, it should be relaxing and even enlightening, not something that would require, but more of a sense of community and conversation. That's the whole point. We're in conversation, and to be engaged with the audience in conversations about things that we don't usually talk about.
I don't know if you guys are aware or not. The Kemmerer Museum in Bethlehem, which is right by City Hall on the north side of Bethlehem, there is an amazing historical doll display exhibition there. It's like,
no. So
I'm going to have to tell you, oh my God, you know what? Podcast, you're staying with me. I'm going to Kemmerer Museum dolls. It's the Kemmerer Museum of Decorative Arts. Yeah. The Elizabeth Johnston Prime Dollhouse Collection. So there is an insane dollhouse. They were telling me it's one of the best. I mean, I've seen it, and it's, you got to do like white gloves and stuff. I highly recommend you guys, if you're able to take the opportunity to go to the Kemmerer Museum to see
it. Thank you. We will.
Oh yeah. In fact, I know some of the people there. So if they're not open, let me know. Maybe we could get you in. But I think because they're so old, it's so fascinating. It just made me think of that. So yeah, I definitely wanted to plug them.
That's great.
Sure. And I also wanted to plug, you also have a story circle workshop after one of the performances on March 7th. Could you just kind of talk about what that entails?
Well, the story circle would also be an opportunity to come together and maybe to share the stories that need to be told at the moment when we are there. There's nothing to prepare. It's to just come open, like we're all just open and listening, ready to listen to one another and have the opportunity. There are so many things we do share in common, like nursery rhymes, songs, riddles. There are stories that just simply need to be discovered on the moment.
Yeah.
And we're hoping that we feel it has happened in the past, and we feel a continuation of that community of conversation.
And I'm looking forward to it, because I think maybe somebody like myself wouldn't be as interested in like dollhouses and stuff like this, but it is. It's so fascinating because it's such a glimpse into history. I'm bringing up the Kemmerer dollhouse.
Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Oh, they do. They have behind the scenes dollhouse tours at 11:30 a.m. So yeah, okay. But yeah, it's just fascinating because it is. It's not only a part of history, but it's a part of how we communicate. And I think it's such a great thing that you're coming to our town of Bethlehem to help us experience that. So we're, again, we could talk forever, but I don't want to give it away. I want to make sure that we encourage people to come out. And if you could say maybe one thing to somebody who, I don't know, like maybe they're on the fence or they don't quite understand, like what kind of, give me your elevator pitch of what the language of dolls is.
I think it's an opportunity to come and be inside of a space that feels more safe and fun and also provocative to questions that we're all with right now. In a time when these issues are really important to not turn away from.
And I'll just add, I think it's also a play about friendship and yes. aging. And sure. so, you know, it's not often that three older women get to sit at, you know, become the story. We are the story. And I think in the audience that there's a connection in that way. And so when we've done the piece in the past, that seems to be part of it, that those issues that come up around what does it mean to know each other for 40 years and as women friends for this long. So that's a part of it as well.
Also, I think it's an opportunity to discover through being there, just to be present to a moment and time and space and to participate in the measure that I can. Like nobody's asked to do anything but to listen. And often with things that are going on in the world, we don't want to hear one more thing. We want to be opened up and enlightened and to just take things in. And I think this is a real opportunity to do that.
And I just have to quote Peggy, because the term you used is the play has not just humor, wicked humor, that there's a kind okay. of...
Yeah. Well, you know, right, not quite dark, right? You don't want to say dark.
No.
No, not dark. Sorry. Strike that, guys.
It's an opportunity to be absolute. I feel like if I was on the fence,
sure.
I really like, would sure. feel like this is a show I'm going to see. I'm going to just see what they're about because I want to take this in. I need to hear these subjects talked about in a different environment.
I'll tell you what, after talking to you guys for just short amount of time, yeah, it's provocative. It's more interesting. Not, I don't want to say that it wasn't interesting prior, but to hear about what's going to be discussed there and the history behind it and the way that you're doing it and the fact that you created the dolls and like what's behind that. And then, you know, what are some of these stories you're going to tell? Yes, I can get behind that. Very, very much looking forward to it. I think you should get a name for your group, right? You've been together for 40 years. And you have like a performance group or at least a production company,
yeah.
right? It's kind of punk rock. I don't know. That's neat. That's cool.
Wow. I'll have to think about that.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. Get in like an LLC or something. But we're happy that you're coming to Bethlehem. We're looking forward to it. So again, if just head to Touchstone Theater's website is the easiest way to get more information about the Language of Dolls, which is running March 5th through March 8th. So how many performances will there be?
Four
yeah. total.
Sunday the 8th it's a matinee at 2 p.m.
And again, not
we're
just
all still growing. We're all still growing and learning. We need more and more opportunities to grow.
And we're so fortunate to have a place like Touchstone in our community where we're able to do this. Like you guys are coming in from New York City and you know, entertain us and to bring some conversation. It's pretty nice. It's great. So we're looking forward to it.
So great to have that exchange. Yeah. It's so important. So
yes.
We are excited to be there.
Yay. All right. Well, it was a pleasure to talk with you guys. It truly was. And looking forward to it. And we'll talk soon. We'll see you in March 5th through the 8th. Head to touchstone.org for more information.
Thank you. Thank you, George.
See you guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right.